Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, a show that ranks in the top 0.5% of over 3 million worldwide podcasts. Now, I don't share that because it's about me or my success. I share that as a way of setting the stage for gratitude. This show would not have ranked that high, have gotten millions of downloads, or have become the most downloaded show in school leadership unless it was serving you. And you are a ruckus maker. You're somebody who wants to do school different. And today, we're going to talk all about that in a very unique episode. I can't wait for you to listen. And in today's conversation, we speak with my buddy and friend and mastermind member, Lauren, who is a principal somewhere on the East Coast of the United States. We want to talk today about attracting and interviewing, right, ideal candidates to school. Now, here's the thing. Most schools are doing it wrong. They're doing it all the same ways. It's super boring. It's very institutionalized. And it's certainly not how ruckus makers do school different. So if you want to stand out, if you want to stand ahead of the competition, then you need to start thinking differently. You have to be creative, which requires a lot of unlearning and a rethinking of the interview process. So we'll begin talking about the old way Lauren used to do it and probably how you're doing it right now. And then the second half of the conversation, we do a deep dive in the new way. Some of the things Lauren has already been discussing with me through a coach call, and he's put those changes into practice because he has a bias for action and he's seeing the results. Then this becomes sort of a coaching episode and we start exploring more of the process and different changes he can make, and he gets really excited about that. I hope you do too. I promise if you implement these ideas, you will see a positive result. And if you consider yourself a ruckus maker who wants to do school different, then this episode is for you, and you will attract higher quality candidates to your campus. So once again, thanks for listening, and we'll be right back after a quick message from our show sponsors. Hey, ruckus maker, I'll make this quick. If you're listening to this message right now, you're missing out. When you subscribe to the Ruckus Maker newsletter on Substack, you get access to microbooks focused on how to do school different, tools and other resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, stories and case studies of the world's most legendary ruckus makers of all time, access to my calendar to schedule coaching sessions, and you'll also get bonus podcast content that won't be released on the main podcast feed and podcast episodes without any advertisements. So if you love this show, if it's helped you grow and you want access to more tools and resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different and become a paid subscriber at ruckusmakers.substack.com. That's ruckusmakers.substack.com. The secret to peak performance is not complicated. It's a plan on how to optimize the five fundamentals found in the Ruckus Maker Mindset Tool. This simple tool will help you consider where you are now and where you want to be in the next 90 days for each area. You can complete the tool in 5 minutes or less. Download it for free at betterleadersbetterschools.com/mindset. IXL is a go-to support for classroom teachers because its adaptive platform makes differentiated instruction easy. See for yourself and get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. How would you like to increase student talk by an average of 40%? More student ownership, more student discourse. Check it out for yourself by trying out TeachFX. Go to teachfx.com/betterleaders to pilot their program today. What does your school cafeteria make you think of? Chaos? Headaches? Quality food? Well, Quest stands apart in the school food service industry as a partner that provides high-quality food for your students. This is food you can be proud of. Learn more at Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com. All right, so I'm here with Lauren, good friend and member of the Ruckus Maker Mastermind for a while. I should know, but how many years? Has it been like 6, 5?
It's been more than that. You know, this was, I think we're going on 7 or 8. We might even be up to 8. It's definitely 7 or 8.
Wow. Lauren, thank you. That's amazing. You know, I was talking to another person I care about a lot, my wife. And we were talking about our 7-year anniversary coming up this summer. But yeah, we've been working together a while. So I really appreciate you. Want to start off with gratitude. So Lauren is somewhere on the East Coast. That's how we're going to describe it. Because we're going to reveal some, pretty interesting details about like interviewing and stuff. And the reason I asked them to join me, you know, right now it's hiring season. Newsflash, in case you haven't heard, nobody wants to be in education. And those that do are trying to leave, right? And so I think a challenge many ruckus makers and certainly all principals face is attracting the right talent, keeping them, onboarding them, retaining them. And today we're going to do a bit of a deep dive into how to attract candidates. And so basically, if you think of fitness, right? Fat guy and then turns into the fit guy. That's the before and after. We're gonna look at the old way of doing interviewing, and then some of the things that Lauren has really skillfully done, made some changes, and has seen some really great results. And we're doing this and putting it out for free on the podcast because if you're smart, you might do something similar, right? So yeah, without further ado, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danny. It's always good to speak with you and to learn alongside you. I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah, man. This is awesome. And so I'm going to be mindful. I want to coach you because we'll be in recording mode and you're just going to default back to, oh yeah, this is where I work and stuff. So when we talk about your school, you know, just make that anonymous. You know what I mean? I promise to do that. If you end up saying the school's name, we'll zap it out. But anyways, just to remind you there. So I think, Lauren, where I want to start is talk to me what, like, before some of our conversations, what was interviewing, recruitment fairs, attracting candidates to your school like?
So it's definitely been an interesting several years in terms of interviewing and recruiting teacher candidates. It's been, you know, tough lately. As you mentioned in your intro, you know, that there aren't as many candidates. You know, everyone hears about the challenges that educators are facing. And so really finding candidates who are, you know, who are interested is part of the challenge. And then you want candidates who are going to do a great job with students and with colleagues and with families in your school community. So the last several years, we went through the COVID pandemic and, you know, we did all this interviewing and recruiting through Zoom. And then we're on the other side of a lot of those barriers. Having learned some things from that experience and also though wanting to do more and more in-person recruiting and get back to that. So I think that's a space that we're in right now. And then also just learning, you know, how do we find candidates in this environment? How do we find the right candidates in this environment? So before you and I talked, you know, I was just trying to grapple with that space that we're in right now. And I was going to some in-person recruitment fairs for teacher candidates that were helpful. And I was trying to think through, you know, am I doing the right things when I'm at this kind of event? Am I, you know, cause they're all, you know, there are candidates there, but there are lots of school divisions and schools there. You know, am I attracting the right kind of attention? How do I do that? And also just with meeting candidates, you know, what do I tell them about my school and what their experience with our school would be like? And so, you know, I think I fell back on what I was used to from before the COVID pandemic, with maybe a little bit of flexibility sprinkled in there, because we did, you know, experience Zoom interviewing, meeting candidates that way and that sort of thing. And all those things from before weren't so bad. Like, I think it's really helpful to know, you know, what kind of candidate is successful at your school. I think thinking through that ahead of time, you know, was really important. And I continued to, you know, to lean on that with my school team. And even we have that written out as a document for our school. Like, what is the ideal candidate look like?
You do.
And then also think, yeah, we do. And thinking through how, you know, what we have to offer in terms of support for new teachers, you know, that's something that we were ready to talk about. But when it came to like introducing our school and, you know, and greeting candidates, I think it was kind of plain what I was doing, to be honest with you. You know, I was introducing myself and, you know, and we have a wonderful school and we have a great arts partnership. That's really wonderful. That supports our school. You know, and I talk about, you know, I do talk about that when I meet candidates, but I don't think I was really differentiating for candidates what, you know, what the difference will be like working with me and working with our team. And what's so unique about our school community. So I think I was stuck in that space of not sure how to stand out, and not sure, you know, how to kind of be more bold in the environment that we're in, and, getting a chance to have a, you know, coaching conversation with you. I think while I was actually out, or right after I'd been at one of those recruitment fairs, opened my eyes to, okay, you know, how can I change how I'm pitching, you know, making this pitch to candidates? Yeah.
Ooh. Was that just one of my random calls to you? Did you call? Do you remember? I'll do that, right? I mean, I love talking to folks, members of the mastermind, but yeah, was that? What happened?
You were calling about some mastermind business and checking in with me. And I happened to, you're like, you know, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm at this recruitment fair. And I probably, you know, sounded a little bit tired and maybe a little bit frustrated about the fair. You know, like, you know, I'm meeting all these candidates. I don't know if any of it's going to work out. And you just start asking me a few questions. You're like, oh, okay, well, what's the setup of the fair? And, you know, what are you doing? And you kind of just, you know, asked a few questions like that. And it made me kind of think about the experience, not right through my own eyes, but kind of as an observer looking at what I'm doing and what's going on around me, you know?
100%. So paint a picture for the ruckus maker listening of like the fair setup pre our talk, right? So what did it used to like look like for your school? And then, you know, how about even other schools that you may have seen as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've always been welcoming, you know. I mean, there are two different settings. Like you can invite candidates to your school, right? And that's one of the ways that we did it before. You can go to an event, you know, in terms of like when we have candidates come to us, like we've always been welcoming, you know, I always want them to feel, you know, that they're being greeted well, you know, and that we have a plan for them and, you know, we're going to take care of them while they're with us, that kind of thing. But, you know, when they'd come in and we have a written question for them to do to kind of work on while the panel, because we had a group of teachers that helped to do interviews, because we, you know, I want them to help me choose the best candidate. I also want candidates to learn about our school by meeting our, you know, our teachers. So while we're getting a panel ready, like the candidate will have some kind of written question to work on when they meet people in the main office and that kind of thing. But after our call, I started to think about.
Well, let me pause you there, because we'll talk after the call. So you kind of describe if somebody comes to your campus. Now talk about, because when I called you, you were at an event. Maybe was it at like a hotel or some kind of a, you know, boring institutional sort of building, right? Like a
university campus conference hall. Okay. You know,
not too bad.
A little bit of liveliness to it, but it's still, you know, a conference, you know, a large conference room.
So I'm a candidate. I walk up to your booth prior to our conversation. What do I see? I see you, your handsome face and your smile. Great. You're wearing a suit. Well done. You dressed up.
And a bow tie. Don't forget the bow tie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've sent you a bow tie before. But you know, you got some kind of table. Do you have posters? You got TVs?
So we got just like a lot of the, you know, the other schools and school divisions. We've got, you know, a table set out, you know, with different swag on it. We've got flyers, you know, with information, you know, salary information, health benefits information is available as well. You know, there's, you know, the stats on the school district, things like that, that we have there, you know, and fun gadgets.
What's a fun gadget? What are you talking about? What do you mean a fun gadget?
I mean, you know, like a clever little hand sanitizer, not in a regular hand sanitizer, you know, bottle though, but, you know, has the logo on it and stuff like that.
And they get to take it with them? Or is it just there?
Yeah, they can take it with them.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, or pen, you know, there can be things that are a little bit simpler, like, you know, pens, pencils, those things with logos.
Got
on
it.
Them. And that's what everyone's doing stuff like that, right? That's all over the whole, like, conference hall. You know, some people have candy. We didn't have candy last time.
Yeah, we had some jokes. We had some candy kid attract people for sure. But so I think it was really important to highlight for the Ruckus Maker, like the booth looks like everybody else's booth, pretty much. You got the posters, you got the stats, the flyers, right? That kind of thing. Who is at the booth? You're there? Are there any other teachers?
Well, we're going together as a team with other schools from the school division. So there's a couple of the another principal. There's a teacher from one of the other schools. There's a human resources representative.
Gotcha. So you're representing the system.
Yeah, representing the system, and also, you know, representing the school and that sort of thing.
Is it during the school day, this event? Okay. Then what I wanted to say is, like, you know, probably many of these booths, that kind of thing, people from the school, people from the division, the system, but they're all adults. Most educators don't get into education to work with other adults. And that's sort of one of the dirty secrets about K-12 education. Many educators are great with kids and terrible with adults, right? That's an interesting, I don't know. Educators are weird in that sense. But my point is, if it wasn't during school, one thing that you could do to set yourself apart is have kids there, right? And maybe they even lead somehow the interview process, because at the end of the day, this is what candidates, you know, will be working with and why they want to do what they do. So that's sort of a side note in case you do events outside of school hours and families and students are willing. Okay, so I think I got a sense of what the booth looks like. You mentioned some people like rent a whole room or something. Isn't that correct?
Right. I mean, there were rooms available for a fee to, you know, to have your own space and kind of interview do your own interviews aside from the larger.
Yeah. And okay, that seems, at least then you're differentiated in sense that it's just you in that space. You paid a little bit more money. And I had an idea around that. Do you remember what it was? It's okay if you don't. I don't care.
I don't actually. So please remind me.
Well, I was just saying it's in the same place. And so that's kind of also not that interesting. And, you know, I don't know the rules, right? I don't know the rules around the event and that kind of thing. And of course, the system has to be open-minded as well. But, you know, if there's some cool cafes, and my point was you could do the interview anywhere else. Like, you can meet people there, but then you could set up stuff and do like walk-in talks. You could go to a coffee shop. If you're on a university campus, many universities have beautiful quads. You know what I mean? And so, you know, they probably have some kind of like art school. Like, what if you held stuff there, you know? So just thinking outside of the box, like, okay, this is supposedly the boundaries of the event, but can we dream a little more creatively in terms of where it happens and that kind of thing? Again, you know, and back to something you said that's really important for the Ruckus Maker to hear. How do we differentiate? How do we show our different? Because Ruckus Makers do school different. So that was something that we mentioned. All right. Is there anything else before we go to like how you've made changes? Anything else like pre-changes you think is relevant that we should bring up?
Well, I think pre-changes, just reaching out to candidates, whether it's in person, like at an event, like we just described, or whether it's you're calling candidates, you know, trying cold calling, you know, looking at resumes or emails, which are more common now, or other kinds of messaging for candidates, like whatever your method is. Like, I think my approach before was just like, just kind of, as I said, plain and, you know, here's my name. I'm the principal at this school. You know, we have this many students. We're, you know, we're a diverse school community. We're a great, vibrant place to work. You know, are you interested maybe in interviewing for this position or that position? And, you know, just that outreach was just basic like that.
Yeah, you said plain, right? Plain introducing the school and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I think that's good for part one in terms of like what stuff used to look like. I think actually we'll take a break here for a message from our sponsors. And when we come back, let's talk about how you've made the changes and what those changes have resulted in. Sound good?
Definitely. Thank you.
Teachers love the support that IXL provides in the classroom, and ruckus makers love it as well because IXL also gives school leaders meaningful insights into every level. Put your finger on the pulse of student performance via the IXL dashboard or drill down to see progress and growth for individual students. You can even customize reports to hone in on the information that matters most to you. IXL helps ruckus makers make data-informed decisions that will benefit their student growth goals. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. In post-pandemic classrooms, student talk is crucial. And when classrooms come alive with conversation, teachers and students both thrive. TeachFX helps teachers make it happen. The TeachFX instructional coaching app provides insights into student talk, effective questions, and classroom conversation quality. TeachFX professional development complements the app and empowers teachers with best practices for generating meaningful student discourse. Teachers using TeachFX increase their student talk by an average of 40%. Imagine that, 40% more ownership over the class by students. Ruckus makers can pilot TeachFX with their teachers. Visit teachfx.com/betterleaders to learn how. That's teachfx.com/betterleaders. When it comes to your school's dining experience, it might feel like one more thing on your plate. And it is, which is why you need a collaborative partner who will proactively listen and respond to your individual cafeteria needs. When you bring on Quest Food Management Services, you can expect support around school cafeteria facility and equipment design, concept and station creation, menu and nutrition development, employee management, technology implementation, marketing communications, and day-to-day guest food service and operations. With Quest, you get it all. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com. Or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com. All right, and we're back with Lauren somewhere on the East Coast. Real deal principal. Yeah, good dance. He's a good dancer. And, you know, thank you again for being a member of the mastermind for like 8 years, I think it is. And so we want to talk about, you know, some of the changes you've made and the results you've seen. Just to reflect back, some things that I found interesting you said in the earlier part of the conversation. I do want to hear more about you defining what the ideal candidate looks like in what you offer. You talked about that you wanted to be more bold as well. So where do you want to start?
Well, we could start talking about, you know, kind of what kind of candidate we're looking for. Yeah. You know, and how we've kind of ramped up that part of what we do because,
right.
You know, we're looking for candidates who are resilient. As we started the show talking about, you know, all the challenges educators are facing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that resilience is so important. And, you know, that's part of it. If, you know, experience working in diverse communities, with different cultures, backgrounds. You know, that can be really helpful and play into that resilience as well as, you know, just the overall strength of a candidate to be able to collaborate in a school community. And so one of the things we did really recently as a team is we adjusted some of the questions that we were asking candidates based on what we realized we're really looking for. And one of my favorite interview questions that we ask now, I've got a couple of favorite ones, but
yeah, let's hear them.
I've got three favorite ones, but my top favorite one is we ask a candidate to describe time they learned about a culture different from their own. What did they learn and how have they used that knowledge? And it can be a personal experience or it can be a professional experience or it can be a combination of the two. But it really helps us get to know the candidate. It gives them a chance to, you know, if they're ready for it, to be a little bit vulnerable too. It also gives us a sense of where their passion may lie in terms of their reflective capacity and also, you know, their real dedication to the kind of work that we do. So that's one question I really like. My second favorite question is actually to ask them what questions they have for us.
Yeah, yeah.
We always make sure we do that in every interview. And that's also kind of a more open part of the interview process where we get to just hear more what's really top of mind for them. And it also gives our teachers who are part of the hiring process a chance to share more about our campus and about our community. So that, yeah, that has a recruitment function too, which is really helpful. And then I do like to use a question where I share an academic reading growth and achievement report, a sample for a class. And I like to, you know, I like to visually show it to the candidate.
Yeah.
And I tell them right from the beginning, we're not expecting you to analyze all this, you know, this information on the spot, just to understand how you would use this kind of information. I walk them through it a little bit.
The thought process.
And also just, it's a little bit unexpected. And that just helps kind of, you know, them, you know, see how they are maybe with something they didn't completely expect, but also show them how we support them in a situation like that and have that kind of rapport with them. So those are some of my favorite questions that align with their, you know, the kind of candidates we're seeking to have, and also to set the tone for them to understand what kind of team they'd be joining. You know, so the questions I think are really important. I think it's helpful to connect the questions you're asking back to the kinds of, you know, candidates that you're really interested in having join your school too.
Right. You know, another question you might ask too, potentially, is something around the idea like, assuming you're a good fit for our campus, what would help elevate our school to be your number one choice? You know, wonder how they might answer and if there's anything within your control that you might not have covered during the interview that you could then highlight to sort of position your campus as number one. I guess a different version of that question would just be, what is an ideal campus you're trying to join? You know, what does that look like? And if you get a generic answer, you know, just keep drilling and pushing to give examples and why those examples matter to them, you know. Take it or leave it, I don't care. But that's something that came to mind. Let me ask you this from a different perspective on the same topic. How do you communicate to candidates what an ideal candidate is? And it's okay if it's in development, but go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So one of the things that candidates sometimes ask us when they have a chance to ask, you know, us questions is, you know, what we're looking for. So, you know, that's one way that we communicate that now, but I don't think we have a built-in way to always communicate that. So that could be an area, you know, for us to develop. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm writing another book, of course. You know, I love to write books and put them out. That seems to be something I've been doing. And I don't have a title in the middle. The middle kind of sucks. I need to make it better. But the premise is good. And it's about what we're talking about. How do you attract ideal candidates? How do you interview them and then have confidence you hire the right one? Then how do you onboard and mentor them and ultimately retain them, right? So I don't remember if I've released this in the Automatic School. So Automatic School, for the Ruckus Maker listening, if you've heard me talk about the Ruckus Maker Mastermind, Lauren's been a part of that. It's our leadership community. The Automatic School is like kind of the curriculum, so to speak, that we teach Mastermind members. And once a month, I do a video training and provide a tool. I don't remember if I've shared this one yet or not. It's actually also available on the website. But the tool is called the School Leadership Scorecard. And I also want to talk about the Sustainable School Leadership Summit, which Lauren's not coming to. Now, I just...
Dude, put me out there.
He has
like
a wedding to go to.
Yeah, family wedding to go. Otherwise, I would be there.
He's got a family wedding, and I just wanted to give you a hard time. I think it's international too, but that's super cool. This is a shameless plug for the Ruckus Maker listening to come to the Nashville event, which is July 12th through 14th. And just check out the website for more information or email me. But one of the things we're going to talk about some of the content in this book and do an activity, which is this. So the School Leadership Scorecard, something you could download from my website. Essentially, it's like seven characteristics of the best ruckus makers that I've worked with, like Lauren. And then there's a scale from 1 to 12, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? They're divided into three and there's four quadrants, so very rubric-y. And then there's a now and next area, so a person can say, here's where I currently am, here's where I want to be in 90 days, right? I suggest and assert that if your campus, now that you've defined your ideal candidate, and the Ruckus Maker listening does this too, we're going to do this in Nashville. So what's your ideal candidate? Create the rubric and send it to the candidate prior to the interview, right? Now they're going to know something a little bit more about your school and who succeeds at your school, right? If you choose to follow this line of thinking, which I know will work, you have to over-communicate. It's not about scoring perfect on the scorecard. What we're looking for is where you are and how you want to grow. And we want to have an intentional and real conversation about that, right? Because if a candidate comes in, and despite your over-communication, they're all 10s, 11s, and 12s, they're full of you know what. And do you trust that person or want them on your campus? Now imagine a person comes in and says, well, maybe I'm a 4 or 5 in this area. Maybe I'm even a 1 or 2 or whatever. And here's where I want to be in 90 days. And here's a bit of a plan of how I can get there. That tells you a lot about the candidate. And now you can have a dialogue too. Here's how we will develop you to get to this level. My challenge to you, if you accept this premise, is this is the big idea. This is the big idea. If you could turn your interview into an experience where the candidate leaves and says that felt more like professional development than an interview, that's going to help you stand apart from other schools and in places where educators or whoever might feel invisible or not developed, or the PD they do get is just like, too little, too late, unhelpful, disconnected, they're going to say, well, Lauren, he sees me and he's going to work on things that are important for my success. I kind of like that. I think I'll go work with him. So reflect back to me like what you're hearing in what seems helpful, or if you have any questions on what I just shared there.
I really like this idea of turning the interview into an experience, especially a professional learning experience.
Yeah.
Because it's that, I really think, you know, we always say that, you know, you don't necessarily remember everything your teachers taught you, but you remember, I mean, hopefully you remember a lot, but you don't remember everything, but you remember how they made you feel, right? That's one of those, you know, famous sayings, right? And, you know, candidates, as a candidate, you know, they remember, you know, how they felt in that interview, in that experience. And if they, you know, generally felt the learning, you know, the learning vibe from the team, you know, and they were going to learn and grow, that can only, you know, work in your favor. So yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by this. I'm starting to think about, you know, what that rubric would look like for us. I guess the one hesitation, you know, not necessarily to play devil's advocate, but just to
no, please
you know,
do.
To think through is, you know, are you giving away to, like, do you have candidates who are going to try and like mold themselves, but that's not really who they are if you give them, you know, all that information up front? But I don't know. I think it would probably show through, you know, in this kind of process. I think it'd be okay.
Yeah, because if you have a real conversation, right, and then you think of ways to test that they actually exhibit this thing, just like your culture and what you learn from the culture experience question is brilliant. That one's going to be a bit hard to fake, you know what I mean? But even if you create some kind of exercise around it as well, that's, you know, that's a way to test. Here's what I do know. Every other school is not doing what I just shared with you. They're not. And so therefore, the usual BS and fake it till you make it, and I've learned how to interview well, doesn't apply because they didn't know, you know what I mean? Yes, you sent it ahead of time, but it's still like, what is this? You know, what am I getting into? It's different. So I'm still pretty confident it's a good idea. It'll work.
Yeah. And the idea you shared might even kind of dovetail with something else that can happen in an interview experience. If you're able to bring candidates to your school and you can have them do like a mini lesson with students, and you could even, you could have a feedback conversation with them. I've kind of always been a little bit of, you know, wanting to try this, but haven't fully tried it, you know, where you have an actual feedback conversation about the experience that they had with the students, you know, that's kind of substantial. Not to criticize, you know, not to be critical, but, you know, how can they learn and grow just from that, you know, that mini experience they had with students in the classroom in our school.
Right on. Yeah, that's fantastic. Cool. Well, that's an idea. I think it'll work. So I hope you found value there. How else? I know your email that you send out to candidates has changed. And so can you just, I guess in general terms, share the old and the new email and kind of your thought process, how you changed it and what the results have been so far?
Yeah, I'm really pumped about the changes we've made in the email pitch for sure. I think it's just because the language is exciting, right? And the language means something real. And before, again, just to go back to what I said, it was plain before. There wasn't anything wrong with it, but it was just like, hi, I'm Lauren Brody. You know, I'm at this school. We've reviewed your application and we're really interested, you know, you as a candidate, you know, which of these times are you available to meet with us kind of thing, you know? And now it's the email pitches, you know, have you heard about our school? We are not your average public elementary school. We're not business as usual. We're an arts integrated learning team dedicated to grassroots community building across our diverse staff and families. We have this arts partnership. And I say you don't need to be a musician or an artist to join our team, but you do need to have a passion for the craft of teaching and openness to collaboration and a desire to inspire the next generation. And then I go into, you know, when are you available? But I've actually had a couple of candidates get back to me already enthusiastically, like right after getting this email, you know, and the tone of their response is different than the tone of any responses I used to get. Because I used to get, you know, I send out a plain email, I get plain responses. You know, I'd be interested in interviewing for your school at this time. Now I've gotten like a response, for example, wow, that's exactly the kind of school that I'm looking for. You know, I love the arts and I'd be really interested in, you know, getting to meet your team. And I didn't get responses like that before.
Right. So that's fantastic. And I think this change is kind of pretty recent. And so we'll still see, you know, did the candidates come in? Do you hire them and that kind of thing? But even in just getting the responses, that's different. And even running my business, I know that, like, I send out emails and it's like, do you get a response or not? You know what I mean? And so the fact that people are engaging with you is something that's great. So how did your thinking change when trying to craft this email? Because it is a bit different and you're getting this response, but what were you trying to communicate?
I was trying to communicate what's special about our school community, you know, what's at the core of our identity about our school. I was trying to communicate passion. I was trying to tap into, you know, the candidates' passion for teaching and for education. You know, so if they see the passion that's in the message that I send out, know, I believe that they'll want to connect with that, you know, if they have that passion, because it's a calling. It, you know, it's not just a job. And certainly given all the challenges we've talked about, you know, that we face in education, like candidates, teachers, they want to be inspired. They need to be inspired. So I wanted to share a snippet of my inspiration and our team's inspiration and my outreach to potential candidates.
Right on. All right, cool. Yeah, I think a big idea, hopefully for a ruckus maker listening that you caught, is like, how do you show you're different? I say I'll help ruckus makers do school different, which is about making shifts from old traditional and broken ways of educating to new, different, and creative ways. And this is exactly what Lauren is demonstrating right here and seeing good results. But basically, you want to have the same sort of message as well. Like, if you're not like every other public school and not business as usual, you might even have some visuals around this, but even a few bullet points. Business as usual looks like this. And if you want that, God, but here's how we do it at our campus, you know? And then some bullet points there. And again, an opportunity where you could talk about your ideal candidate too. You get straight up in that email, our ideal candidate is XYZ, right? And I'm seeing that kind of in a bulleted list, bolded, and then a one sentence description of what that concept is. And then you could get into the, you know, when are you available to meet? Something else you might add to the email that you might consider is if you are this arts integrated school and have this passion for the craft of teaching, and it's very clear how your school is different than others, you might even ask, hey, you're shopping around for your teaching position. Do you know anybody else like you who would be a great fit for us, right? And now you might build a bit of a pipeline too of interesting candidates that would be a great fit for your campus, you know? For the Ruckus Maker listening and for you, Lauren, this work is so important because even if the candidate says, actually, I'm looking for the business as usual school, I don't want to work at your campus. If they're in one of their teacher events or, you know, whatever, let's say a party where, you know, people their age that are also educators, like, and they meet somebody who would be interested, they're going to tell you, right? I know this for a fact because it works for me. Because after I go through the old and the new sort of shift about ruckus makers do school different, I say there's two kinds of principals. There's play it safe principals who maintain the status quo, ruckus makers who are visitors from the future showing us how education will be. And then I look at somebody like Lauren and I say, and every leader needs to answer this question. Would you rather be a play it safe principal or a ruckus maker? And what's interesting, everybody uses the language. That's when you know you've nailed it. They say, no, I'm not a ruckus maker, using the words. Or they say, yes, I'm a ruckus maker, sign me up, right? So even for the people, again, that say, no, I'm not a ruckus maker, if they meet another ruckus maker, they say, oh, you got to meet Danny, you know? Like, I'm not into his stuff, but you're going to love it. Do you see the connections here? Is that making sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Cause, yeah. I mean, like you said, when everyone's starting to use the language,
yes.
Even if they're not interested, then you're spreading your message and you're going to find fits for your organization.
So I know you operate within a bureaucracy. I mean, you go to the event, the interview event as a system, so you might not have this autonomy. But if you do, and if the ruckus maker listening does, I would even like job posting, stop posting for teachers. Don't say you're looking for classroom teachers or, you know, sixth grade science or whatever. Like, what is your version of ruckus maker, right? Like, what's the language? Because business as usual, they hire teachers. At our campus, we hire, fill in the blank. And are you a teacher that just distills knowledge and pours knowledge into people, right? Or are you a, that facilitates the co-creation of wisdom with a deep integration of arts, a respect for culture, blah, 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 blah. So are you a teacher or are you a, and you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff. And if you get it right, it's going to be a great filter. And a lot of people will choose not to join. You don't want them anyways, you know? But when you get the people that like raise their hand, they're going to be a great fit for your campus.
My brain's spinning with the possible words that could replace teacher, you know, or complement teacher.
Yeah. And then that's something now you're going to have to, you'll have to your staff will have to do some unlearning here because they think they're teachers. And you'd be like, guys, I had a conversation with Daddy. You know how that goes. You write to him and he talks to me, but we're not teachers. You guys are. Like there's something there. I know it. So good luck. Let me know how I could help.
Thank you.
Any other, do you have any questions for me or anything like that we didn't cover in today's call? Because it was half talking about the shift, right, from old to new. And we wanted to do this as a gift to the listener of the show. But also it was kind of a half coaching call too. So is there anything else that we should cover before we go?
I mean, this is super helpful coaching. Thank you.
No worries.
I appreciate it. I've got some great notes here to follow up on for sure. So, you know, we covered a lot. We covered, you know, some new questions we might add, you know, that really gets at what the candidate's looking for. This whole idea of like a rubric and, you know, an experience that the candidate has during the interview that's really like a professional learning experience. And, you know, and this idea of kind of like rebranding what we're doing to really tap into, you know, the heart and the inspiration of what we're doing. So that's really good. You know, pushes, those are really good pushes for me to work with my team to take what we're, you know, the adjustments we're already making to the next level. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the third evolution. And if the Ruckus Maker listening could see Lauren's voice, he looks excited. So I hope you could hear it in both of our voices, but you know, this is going to be good. The only other feedback, can I give you just one more piece of feedback on the email?
Please.
So yeah. You write in big blocky paragraphs, right? And personally, I don't like those. And it's up to you if you want to choose it or not. But like for a book, that would work. But online reading and emails and that kind of stuff or social media posts and blah, 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 blah. It works better if you have short, punchy sentences and like 1 to 2 sentence paragraphs max, right? Because what you want to do, if you think of, and you're a musical guy, right? If you think of your email as a music score, you want a tempo that's fast, right? So that people can't, what do I do to get people reading to the next line, to the next line, to the next line? So short, punchy, 1 to 2 sentence paragraphs, bullet points. You know, I mentioned the bullets with like the bold and then the one sentence description. But that motivates people reading online to keep going. And I bet that will increase the response rate even more as well.
I guess that's the other aspect of like just visually, how you present information to grab people's attention.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's a visual thing and we didn't even touch the flyer. I don't know if you want to, do you want me to talk about that at all or no, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, yeah, I would be interested. You know, we created a new flyer recently as a recruitment flyer to have with us when we're either interviewing candidates at our campus or going out to events. And we, you know, it basically asks why choose us? And then we list a bunch of our, you know, the ways that we stand out as a school community and our partners. And do you have any suggestions there or ways to kind of think of how to leverage the most of that kind of marketing?
Maybe. So I like the idea of why choose us. You know, if you go down the thread of like, we're not teachers, we're whatever. And so that could be communicated on a piece like this. I love the pictures of kids and staff. And I'm guessing that that's like branded colors as well. So that all works. And I love that you have the bullet points too. So, you know, one opportunity might be just like, is there a way to quickly describe an idea? So for example, I'll just do one bullet point. Our PTA provides mini grants for classroom projects. And then like, what's the example? So, you know, Mr. Bauer got X amount of dollars to fund blah, 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 right? And that's kind of like a case study in a sentence. So that you know, then you talk about a new teacher mentor program. That's one way to stand out too, because a lot of schools kind of look over that or just kind of pair up a new teacher with a veteran who just wants to make more money but doesn't really care about developing the teacher. But you know what I mean? So that might be stuff. But overall, I think it's pretty good. If it's at a booth, obviously that's printed out. If it's something you're sending via email, then you could hyperlink, like our new teacher mentor program could be hyperlinked to a longer document or video or something that actually describes sort of the high level what to expect in the mentor program. So those would just be some of the, you know, potential changes maybe to make. Yeah. And maybe test out two visuals. So there's that one. Visual number two is here's how our campus, you know, we're not business as usual. And just like literally have a T-chart type of thing. Most schools do this. We do this, right?
Right.
Just a compare contrast. Like, what are you looking for? You can even say that. If you like this column, don't apply. If you like this column, you're going to love working with us, right?
Yeah. I like that.
So that might be a fun one to create as well. All right. Sweet. I think we've had a blast, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been great learning for me and fun to talk to you.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've had fun. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think was the number one best thing from today's call?
Number one, just looking back through all these great notes that I took, I think it's the rebranding. I think because that kind of cuts across everything. You know, it cuts across how you know, what questions you choose to ask, what kind of experience you provide the candidate when they're with you, you know, that they'll really remember you by. And then, you know, how you just use language to differentiate, you know, what your school is about.
Yes. All right. Cool. Love when we get to have a chat. Thanks for your time today, Lauren.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Danny. This has been great.
Thanks for listening to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, Ruckus Maker. How would you like to lead with confidence, swap exhaustion for energy, turn your critics into cheerleaders, and so much more? The Ruckus Maker Mastermind is a world-class leadership program designed for growth-minded school leaders just like you. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. Learn more about our program and fill out the application. We'll be in touch within 48 hours to talk how we can help you be even more effective. And by the way, we have cohorts that are diverse and mixed up. We also have cohorts just for women in leadership and a BIPOC-only cohort as well. When you're ready to level up, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind and fill out the application. Thanks again for listening to the show. Bye for now and go make a ruckus.